Once again, we stand thankful for everyone's presence. We do have visitors around, and we hope you won't run off and get out of here, so that give us a chance to meet you. And with all of my lessons, I will say that if there's anything that someone does not understand, anything that you're not sure about of how I presented this lesson, I'm always available for answering questions. So you might do that. I haven't plugged my website yet, but there's a place on my website where you can ask questions as well. But most of you know and have seen that. This morning, we're going to talk about the right way to cover sins. And when you talk about the right way to cover sins, we're also going to cover the wrong way to cover sins. And we'll notice that. But we talk about the blessings that we have, and in Psalm 32:1 says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Now, as the class noticed this morning, I'm so boring, I put my computer to sleep, so let's hope I don't do that again. I'll try and improve if I can. People who sin do not, as a rule, want their wrongdoing exposed to the light of truth and righteousness. That works. We know how that works. Look at the politicians who say one thing and then do something else and try and cover it up. We see a lot of corruption in our society and a lot of people doing evil. And of course, there's people out there cheating on their spouses and they don't want that exposed. There's people stealing things. They don't want that exposed. When they do something wrong, they just don't like their bosses to find out they're doing something wrong. If we read in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, this is a condition that even Jesus recognized. He said, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates light and does not come to light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Now, this is true for anybody who wants to make a pretension of doing right, or wants to at least let people think they're doing right. That's something that we call a hypocrite. A person who wants to live like the world, but on Sunday they walk in and say, "Hey, look how pious I am. Look how faithful I am to the Lord." And then as soon as they walk out the door, they once again involve themselves with the affairs of this world. In Proverbs 28:13 it says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." The person who tries to hide their sin and not acknowledge it, they're going to have problems. That's what the scriptures say. So for our lesson this morning, we want to look at this, why men want their sins covered. There's a wrong way to cover sins, and then there's a right way to cover sins. And of course, we're going to go to the scriptures and see the examples of what we are talking about. In Psalm 85 and verse 2, it says, "You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin." And that's when the people turned and returned to God. And that's when God does this. So the first thing we'll look at is the reason to cover sin. Because they do not want the disapproval of their master. And it's no different in any realm of society we can think of today. The enlisted soldier will do the best, and if he does something wrong, he wants to hide it from his superior officer. Otherwise, he may be on report, or he may have some other duties inflicted upon him as a form of punishment. Children, you walk into a room, see a vase broken on the floor. Who did that? I don't know. And the children's the only one in the room, but I love Bill Cosby, you know, when he talked about his children. I don't know. Of course they don't know. He was the only one in the room, but I don't know. Anyway, they do that. They want approval from their parents, and of course, confessing a wrong is something, well, they'll go, "I swear to you, I did not do it. I promise you I did not do it. I'll stand on a stack of Bibles and tell you I didn't do it." Eventually it comes out, and they kind of realize, well, it's useless to keep them back because they know. And so, and on the job, we kind of like to hide things. If we've done something wrong, we kind of hide it if we can. We try and avoid that and try and cover it up just because we want approval. In Genesis chapter 3, notice what it says there beginning in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I ate. Now, what did Adam do? Well, he basically said, well, it's not my fault, God. You gave me this crazy woman, and she enticed me to do that. It's your fault. But don't you know, we see this in our society. Nobody wants to hold anybody accountable. There's no accountability anymore. We talk about and gripe and complain about the politicians wasting money. We talk about other people wasting money. We talk about people doing things. But yet, we never blame the people for their own actions. When the two boys went and killed all their classmates in Colorado a couple years back, not one time during that whole course of the rest of that day, the blame was placed upon society. The blame was placed on their rock grunge music that they were listening to. The blame was placed upon their neighbors or something else. Not once were those kids held accountable for their own actions. And that continued. The next shooting, the school up in Arkansas, they blamed all sorts. Then they started blaming the guns, okay? Oh, we got to get rid of all the guns. And so forth. People are not being held accountable. People try and hide things. They deny, a lot of people deny spiritual things and life after death, even the existence of God, because they don't want to be accountable to that God. The scientists, they turn to evolution, they turn to all sorts of scientific facts to convince themselves that there is no God. But God does exist, and they don't want to acknowledge it. Now we know that some people are so vile and crass, they don't even try and hide their sins. They're evil. They do wicked things. Guys out there brag about their accomplishments with the women. Women do the same thing. Kids go out and talk about, hey, I shoplifted this, I shoplifted that. And it's kind of like a badge of honor they think they're wearing. They don't even try to cover their sins. And then, of course, as we read from Romans chapter 1, they even give approval to other people who practice sin. That's the way these people are. Adam, he blamed Eve. He blamed God for giving him Eve. He had to get the focus off of himself and the fact because he ate of the fruit. They both knew it was wrong. She knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. She ate. He made a choice, didn't he? He had to make that choice. And any sin that is out there, we make by choice. Another fellow by the name of Achan, remember him? The days of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1, we're introduced to this fellow. In verse 1 it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now we know what he did. They just defeated Jericho. They just won the battle of Jericho. And, of course, the instructions were, don't take anything from there. We're going to burn it all up. But this guy uncovered some stuff, and it was kind of enticing to him. So he grabbed it and hid it, and he went and buried it in his tent, hoping that nobody would find out. Now, what you're thinking, well, just a few trinkets or anything. By today's standards, what it says he took would be well over $170,000. Now, who in this room couldn't use $170,000? We'd have enough to use for ourselves and most of us in this room. But still, in verse 11, Israel has sinned. Now, they're blaming the whole nation because one man did something. But there was a problem. There was a sin in the camp. And so God says, you have sin in the camp. You need to get it out. Because if this one sin gets away with it, the temptation for other people, well, if he can get away with it, why can't I? That seems to be the common idea. Joshua 7:11, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. In verse 13, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing among you. Now we're talking about Israel, a nation of probably 2 to 3 million people. And one guy took something and hid it in his tent. Doesn't even say if his family was aware of it or not. One guy took something, hid it in his tent, and the whole nation is being held accountable for it. Because sin destroys the nation. In verse 19, after they cast lots, now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And he says, as we were going through Jericho, I came across this stash of money and it was too much for me not to resist. So I did that. Now, the punishment, Achan was put to death. But here's how severe God considered that punishment to be. Not only was Achan put to death, his wife and children were put to death. All of his cattle, all of his possessions, his tent, everything was taken and put in a pile and burned. And then everyone in the tribe picked up a stone and threw rocks upon it. When you're talking several million people, there's a couple million rocks. And that his everything about Achan was wiped out from their memory. That's how important it is to recognize sin. Because God hates it so much. Even a little bit. When Jesus talked about the Sadducees and Pharisees and talked about beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. He wasn't talking about them. He's talking about their teaching. One little error can do a lot. Just like the serpent when he was talking to Eve. Eve says, I will die if I eat this fruit. One little word. Thou shalt not die if you eat that fruit. That's all she needed. That's all she needed. Hebrews 4. Verses 12 and 13. Says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now notice this. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. No creature is hidden from his sight. That means we cannot escape God. There's nothing we can do that can be hidden from God. We're foolish to think that it can be. And yet we still try. We still try and hide things from God, but we can't forget, and we do forget, that God sees all and knows all. So if the first sinners were not able to cover their sin, and one individual out of several million could not hide their transgression, neither can we. Now, what is the wrong way to cover our sins? Well, basically, blame somebody else. That's what Adam did. He eventually blamed God for this. If God hadn't made something that could be turned into evil, then we wouldn't have evil, right? We hear that all the time. So God created evil. He did. When he created good, he created evil. You can't have good without evil. It's impossible. And the world wants to blame someone else for their iniquities. But another wrong way to cover sin is to just basically turn around and commit another sin. David tried to push his sin off on somebody else. In 2 Samuel, there it goes to sleep again. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 4. Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him and lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am with child. Then David sent Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah the Hittite to David. In verse 15, and he wrote in the letter, saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. Now, what did it take to get to this point? He brought Uriah the Hittite, says, okay, go in, enjoy your wife, the company of your wife. You've been doing a lot of battle. Take a rest. Go spend some time with your wife. Thinking that, okay, he gets involved, he has the relationship, and now all of a sudden he thinks the child is his. And that's all right. But see, Uriah had honor. He recognized he still had his kinfolk, his brethren out there were still fighting the battle. He says, I will not enjoy the pleasure of life while my brethren are suffering. So he stayed in the temple and did not go to his wife. David tried to convince him again. He wouldn't do it. So David, now eventually he's going to come back and find her with child, and he's going to have questions. So he sent Uriah to his death. He tried to hide his sin. And when we try and hide sin, do we not turn around and tell a lie? Do we not turn around and say something or do something? Even to blame somebody else. What is that called in the scriptures? Bearing false witness. We cannot do that. He tried the deception role. That didn't work. It eventually got down to murder. And then Nathan the prophet comes up and tells about a little story about a family who had this little pet lamb. It was like one of the children. They loved it so much. And then some wealthy landowner had a bunch of visitors come, and so they didn't take from their own stock. They went and grabbed this little lamb and prepared it as a meal. When David heard that, he became furious. He says, that's not right. These people ought to be strung up. And then Nathan said, thou art the man. David recognized then what he was talking about, and it moved him. Moved him to write Psalm chapter 51. Beautiful psalm. But it's one that is so very true. David was the man because he tried to commit another sin to hide his first. Sometimes we think the passing of time or time heals all wounds. And for us as humans, it does work in many cases. Sometimes we kind of forget about some of the bad things people have done to us, and we eventually get to the point where we let bygones be bygones. And for most humans, it works. But God does not work on time as we do. We need to remember that. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we can try and do it the wrong way. We can let time heal all wounds, but like I said, God doesn't recognize that. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. What happened 1,000 years ago today? Try and look, remember what happened. Is anybody? We weren't around. And we could probably search the history books and might find something somewhere around this time of the year that may have happened 1,000 years ago that might be significant. But for the most part, it really doesn't matter. Think about 10 years ago. That's hard enough as it is. I mean, just to think, what was I doing 10 years ago? I mean, that's difficult in itself. And what kind of grudges did I hold 10 years ago? Yeah, we forget what grudges we held back then. Some people do. Some people kind of hold on to those grudges. It's sad that they do. But let's look at the right way to cover sins. We must realize that no sin is covered unless it is forgiven. Let that sink in. No sin is covered unless it is forgiven. It's not like you take a cover and just put it over there, realizing it is still there. I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm doing it anyway. In 1 John chapter 1, around verse 6, talks about the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. That's true. We cannot deny that. What is sin? What does sin do for us anyway? And Isaiah 59:2 says, behold, your sins have made a separation between you and your God. Our sins separate us from God. So the only way that we can have a relationship with God is to have our sins taken away, to have our sins removed. And only the blood of Jesus can do that. And as we'll see later on, we can only access that blood through the baptism. Even though man may teach otherwise, we can only access the blood of Jesus Christ through baptism. And then through our continued actions of asking forgiveness of our sins, to mean repent of our sins. We must acknowledge our sins. We need to see what it takes to get forgiveness. In order to get forgiveness, we have to acknowledge our sin. And not just acknowledge it. Okay, I'm a sinner. We'll just let it go at that. You know, some people will do that. Okay, I'm a sinner before God. I guess I'll end up in hell. Well, some people are content to have that attitude. But it's the wrong attitude. Many people in the scriptures recognize when they sin before God. Pharaoh, even though he even questioned, who is this God, when Moses came to ask the people to be released. Who is this God? And then in chapter 9 and verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and my people and I are wicked. It's going to come down to that. Sometime in the point of time, we're either going to come up and acknowledge, I have sinned, whether we do it in this life, which we hopefully we can do it in this life, because when this life is over, we're going to stand before God. And when we say, I have sinned, that's basically it. Our sentence is already given out. In Numbers 22 and verse 34, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Remember Balaam and his talking donkey? A third time, the donkey brushed up against the side of the wall because he couldn't turn around and just sat down. Balaam started beating the donkey. "Why'd you stop?" And the donkey said, "Why are you beating me?" And Balaam was so infuriated about the whole situation, he continued the conversation. What would happen if your animal all of a sudden started talking in your language? Man, you'd step back and say, let's get this on YouTube or something. We got to let the world see this. But he realized what I did was wrong. Balaam recognized that. In 1 Samuel 15:24, after Samuel had accused him of not doing his commands, then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." He was supposed to go utterly destroy Amalek and all of his people, all of his possessions, all of his cattle. But the people kept the best of the cattle to honor, to bring back and offer sacrifice. He listened to the voice of the people. In 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13, so David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has also put away your sin, and you shall not die." When David recognized he had sinned against the Lord, he says, "What can I do to make up for it?" Really, there's nothing you can do to make up for your sin but start serving the Lord. Plain and simple. In 2 Samuel 24 and verse 10, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Yeah, everybody does something foolish every now and then. But we can still acknowledge it. Trying to hide it and brush it on the rug doesn't do any good at all. Now, you might fool some of mankind. They might not see what you're really made up of, but we can never fool God. So we must do this in the sight of God, in the presence of God. In Nehemiah 1 and verse 6, as Nehemiah is saying his prayer to God, notice the words that he uses. "Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned." They recognize that. And when they recognize that, they want to say, "Okay, God, we have sinned. We need to make it right." And people usually turn and do things differently. In Psalm 41 and verse 4, I said, "Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you." Many of the Psalms talk about that. Psalm 51, David's response to Nathan's accusation. He wrote that beautiful psalm, "Against the Lord, against thee only have I sinned." In Micah 7 and verse 9, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness." And then, Luke 15, verse 18. The prodigal son, "I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." And then there's many things we can read. Job 34 and verse 32 says, "Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more." You know, in Psalm 19, when he talked about forgive us of our secret sins, keep us from our secret sins, there's sometimes we might sin against somebody and not even realize we've done it. We might say the wrong thing and offend somebody and not even realize we have done that. But yet, we need to ask the Lord constantly. We need to include this in our prayers. If things that I have not seen, if I've done iniquity, I need forgiveness of that. Teach me what I've done wrong, and I'll do it no more. Now, what better attitude can a Christian have? And anybody can have. We need to have that attitude. I will do no more. We're supposed to learn from our mistakes. Numbers 12 and 11 says, So Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Okay, what did he do? Well, he built the golden calf, sat down and started worshiping the false gods that the calf represented, and he said, Don't be mad at us. They've done an abomination. Numbers 14:10, and they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Numbers 21 and verse 7, Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The fiery serpents? Well, they were used for to punish the people. Why? Because the people were sinning. And the people finally came up and said, Enough is enough. Enough of us have died. We need protection. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 41. Then you answered and said to me, We have sinned against the Lord, and we will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. Judges 10 and verse 10. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, We have sinned against you, because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals. When people turn their back on God and start serving Him, they start suffering. Kind of like we talked about in our first lesson this morning. With every command, there's the positive. If you obey it, you get blessings. If you disobey it, you have the cursings fall upon you. And these people over and over have cursings fall upon them because they're not obeying the voice of the Lord their God, and therefore they are suffering for it. In Judges 10 and 15, And the children of Israel said, Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you, but we request respectfully only deliver us this day, we pray. In other words, what we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is death. Plain and simple. The soul that sins, it shall die. What people do when they sin, they deserve death. In Psalms 106 and verse 6, We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Over and over throughout the Old Testament, they did that. And it's hard to comprehend why, except the fact we know why, because we are all just as guilty as they were, because there's things that this world offers us that we don't want to let go of. We don't want to let go of evil. We don't want to let go of sin. We don't want to turn off the TV and not see the skin or the foul language. We don't want to stop reading the magazines and the books that have the foul language in it. And so we try and, so to speak, straddle the fence. Well, that's worldly stuff. I'll keep that over in that category. And spiritual stuff, I'll keep in that category. It doesn't work that way. We have sinned. All have sinned. Romans 3 and 23 tells, All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But does that mean we're lost? We're without God and hopeless? Absolutely not. Because we have the opportunity. We have the remedy. We know what it takes to get back and get right with God. Notice the prayer of Daniel. In verse 5. Daniel 9 and verse 5. As Daniel prayed, he says, We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. How do we depart from the ways of God? We stop doing what God says. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God given to us. Tells us how we're to live, how we're to behave, how we're to conduct ourselves, how we're to interact with each other. And yet when we do our own thing and set this aside, when we do what mankind thinks we should be doing and leave this aside, then we are doing it without God. We need to return to God's Word and find out what we need to do. Not only acknowledging, like I said, it was like we said earlier in the class, you know, reading the Bible, memorizing verses, studying and contemplating the scriptures are useless unless we put them into application. Putting the Word of God into application and doing what the Lord says, that's what needs to be done. And one of those things he told us about doing was confessing our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are cleansed when our sins are covered. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. If I can find it, well, we'll just do it this way. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. See, there's more to it than just confessing. Okay, I'm a sinner. You know, we said some people are satisfied just to leave it there. What do? We need to change. In 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13, so David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. What he was saying, David confessed. He tried hiding it, but the truth came out, and David recognized, my God is disappointed in me. God is not pleased with the way I have behaved. I have sinned against the Lord, and I'm going to make it right. And because of that, Nathan told him, the Lord will respond, and he will take care of it, and he will protect you. Here's the point. One must cease their transgression. This is how we cover our sins. Acknowledge them, confess them, and then cease from them. Remember Psalm 28:13? But he who confesses and forsakes, that forsakes is mean, put it aside. Don't pay attention to it anymore. He who confesses and forsakes their sins will find compassion from God. In Acts 8:22, Simon the sorcerer was told, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. In James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's very true. And we recognize those things. And it's important to cease our sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then verse 11, after listing all those things that will keep a person out of heaven, he said here that, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So, are your sins covered? We ask this question because we offer an invitation to you. If you recognize that you have sinned, and let's face it, everybody has sinned. If you recognize the fact that I have sinned before God, I am separated from God because of that. I need to confess my sin. I need to confess that I have been wrong. And I need to repent. Repentance is not just saying I'm sorry and going on. Repentance is a change of life. In the past, up to this point, I have just lived for myself and only to satisfy myself. Now I need to start living for God, start serving God and doing things His way. And so that means I have to cease my sins. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins so that your sins will be washed away. An easy lesson to understand, this is how our sins can be covered. By the blood of Jesus, but it takes our action. Our action to acknowledge, confess, and repent and cease doing those sins. Now we offer you the invitation. If you're subject to the invitation call, if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, you cannot have the blessings of God unless you do so, unless you're baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you have been, but yet you have failed Him in some way, which we all have, go to Him in prayer. And if you want us to pray for you, then we will do that. We'll be glad to do so. And we invite everyone to come while we stand and sing.